the Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The Brighton Center has served Northern Kentucky for decades, and now the large social services agency based in Newport has a new chief executive officer. Wanda Winkler has taken the reins and spoke to me earlier about the agency, which assists those in need with housing, employment, essentials, and other issues, and how it's managed to continue to help during the pandemic. Here is our pre-recorded interview. And joining me now is the president and CEO of the Brighton Center, Wanda Winkler. Wanda, welcome to Cincinnati Edition.
Thank you, Michael.
So you've been with Brighton Center for almost three decades yourself. You're replacing someone in Tammy Weingartner who was there for about four decades. Over that period of time, what role does Brighton Center play in Northern Kentucky?
Well, Brighton Center, we're a private nonprofit community-based agency, and we work with families to create opportunities for them to become self-sufficient and financially independent. And so for us as an organization, you know, we not only look at the work with our families, but we look at, you know, helping to make the community a strong and vital place. And as we work with our families, really it's about helping them achieve their hopes and dreams and really have the best quality of life possible for our community and for our region.
Well, there's a lot of areas of social services that Brighton Center touches, from helping people get jobs to assisting families find food, to find clothing, to get assistance with expenses like rent and utilities. I'm wondering how your organization had to adapt, particularly early on in the pandemic. There are a lot of touch points for Brighton Center in a period where we shouldn't be touching, right?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of touch points. And for us, you know, our scope of work as an organization has really grown to be comprehensive throughout the years based upon the needs of families to really help them become financially stable and independent. And really for children to be strong, their families need to be strong, and for the community to be strong, in order to support the family. So there's a lot of interplay that happens against all of our scope of work. So you can imagine when COVID hit, you know, we really saw the impact on our services vary greatly based upon the service we were providing. You know, from the onset of COVID, many times families will turn to Brighton Center if they're in crisis or they need to stabilize a particular issue or need. And out of the gate, we saw that happen with food. Food and financial assistance for families, particularly with rent and utilities, you know, for COVID in particular. We saw it since then, since last March, we've had about a 300% increase in folks seeking those particular services, for example. And, you know, even right before COVID hit, you know, families were, you know, working multiple jobs and living paycheck to paycheck. And then, of course, when COVID hit, that impacted families significantly. And so particularly looking at access for food, and to provide those critical services was hugely important for our organization. You know, some other places where we had to be hands on deck, and about a third of our staff were operational ever since last March, was for our residential programs. We have a recovery center for women where they're living residentially, as well as our Homeward Bound shelter for homeless and runaway youth ages 11 to 17. So we had to kind of keep our doors open, make sure that we were meeting the immediate needs of families, and everything else that we did. Two-thirds of our staff had to immediately go virtual and start meeting with families because the needs were still there, whether that was home visitation and helping first-time parents, you know, or helping to provide some intensive case management and stabilization services. And then, of course, with the schools closing, you know, we had to do a lot of support with families around their children, particularly, since there were childcare centers that were closing down. So we really didn't become operational for some of those programs in person again until July, particularly for childcare. And then all of a sudden, you know, we, saw a huge influx of calls through our Kentucky Career Center in order to try to really help folks that were experiencing job loss or downsizing. We work with 13 partners in the Kentucky Career Center system on workforce development services, and we fielded about 2,000 calls a week, which is four times what we're seeing right now. In the month of January, we're just around 2,500 folks that we were helping. So there was a huge need for folks to be able to access support, and how we pivoted and adjusted really varied based upon the service we were providing because our scope is so broad.
We're talking with Wanda Winkler, president and CEO of the Brighton Center in Newport. And Wanda, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on was to discuss all those different areas where the Brighton Center is designed to assist people. It seems like just about every corner of the economy that we've been discussing throughout the pandemic, education, employment, access to food, that you have some role in. You mentioned just moments ago that you saw a 300% increase in people needing food. And what I'm wondering is, what does that tell us about Northern Kentucky that perhaps the broader public did not know? I guess what I'm asking is, how vulnerable are people in Northern Kentucky to a disruption to their lives to where they can't really fend for themselves without assistance?
Yeah, I think that even prior to COVID was very true, that there could be one health emergency that a family had, or an unexpected, death in the family, or an unexpected job loss through no fault of their own, really had families really living on the edge already. And then when the pandemic hit and, families, still, they didn't have resources to be able to draw upon and to be able to be flexible and nimble and to stock up. If you remember the early days, even going in the grocery store, things were limited, but to have the resources to be able to stock up on those critical supplies to take care of yourself and your family, folks just really didn't have those resources to be able to draw upon. When we pivoted, we also increased the amount of food that we were giving. We had to literally move our food operations into the parking lot in a drive-through kind of way, but we also had to increase the amount of food. And I think to see us almost a year later and, folks still coming in and that still being the highest need for families, just speaks to how families are still struggling, to make ends meet. And, particularly for single moms, with children, and not having centers at full capacity yet for childcare, critical services that are needed so they can continue to go to school or go to work. Really have, thrown folks into a situation, where they're more isolated, they don't have the supports that they need, to be able to draw upon. So we are seeing that kind of play out with our families too, where there's, even some, mental health concerns for families because of the isolation that's happening. But, still trying to be able to pivot and make sure that, we can continue to provide that access to food and resources that families need. We had to shut down our clothing closet, which is our community thrift store, in order to make room for this presenting need of food. But it just shows how, just how fragile families' financial situations were and their need was and still remains.
We've seen in Northern Kentucky that it's not unlike other densely populated areas, that there's often great wealth, and there's great poverty and everything in between. And I know that your organization supports a lot of those people facing challenging times in our region. I'm wondering, though, if in the broader view of Northern Kentucky, where we see large announcements like a new Amazon hub coming to, the airport area and other large commercial interests that are being subsidized to locate in some of our office towers, what are you learning about the region? Are those types of opportunities keeping up with the needs of our most vulnerable population?
Well, I definitely think from an economic development and workforce development perspective, we're very fortunate in our region to have a lot of really great demand sectors and industry pathways, for folks to be able to, to improve the wages that they're earning, et cetera. So, it's really hard, though, thinking about retraining and retooling. Usually it's at this time that we see, enrollment in post-secondary increasing, for example, when the unemployment rate goes up. And we're seeing right now that there's a lot of jobs that employers are not getting a lot of qualified applicants for. And folks are just a little hesitant to make moves right now, because of, some of those jobs that are open, require in-person versus being able to do things from home while they're managing, dealing with their children. So, we're really fortunate to have, like I said, a lot of opportunities for folks, and career pathways, but we've got to be able to make that connection for folks to have them retrain and retool because, there's a skills gap that exists and the vital skills that, folks need to have in order to meet the needs of the companies. And so, you know, that's going to be real important. When the Great Recession hit, you know, we saw the same need and demand in the space of workforce development and folks seeking to go to school. We haven't necessarily seen that play out for people to build their skills and to be prepared for some of the job opportunities. You know, so that's why it's really important as a region that we're working in partnership together, that the post-secondaries and community-based organizations, that the business community and that the chambers of commerce are really working together to look at the system of workforce development and to make sure that, you know, as we're seeing business growth and expansion, that we're also making sure that we're preparing the job seeker the best we can for those opportunities.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're joined today by Wanda Winkler. On February 1st, she became president and CEO of Newport-based Brighton Center. She's been with the organization for 27 years. Wanda, you've been with Brighton for almost three decades. You just referenced the Great Recession. That was where I was going next. You've got some experience in being a part of this organization designed to help people in need when there is great need across the country. This is probably the worst crisis that we've faced in our lifetimes collectively. And this just feels different than the Great Recession. You talked about some of those data metrics, like in the previous Great Recession, we saw people going back to school. This time, we're not seeing that enrollment increase in some of our post-secondary institutions. And a lot of this has to do with the fact there's not a lot we can do right now. That's what's so different about it, is that we just can't get out and do things. Can you talk a little bit about what's different about this economic crisis brought on by the pandemic when you think back to 2007, 2008, 2009 and the Great Recession?
Well, I definitely think when I look back at the Great Recession and I look at the numbers of folks that were accessing our services, we saw double the number of families that we were serving before the Great Recession. And it took us about nine years before we saw those numbers, you know, get back in line with where they were before the Great Recession hit. And where we saw folks accessing services the most was in the space of workforce development, as I just shared. We saw a lot of people accessing for the first time ever help with emergency assistance and food financial assistance, which is very similar to what we're seeing now. And we spent a lot of time over that course of 9 years really focusing on foreclosure prevention and loss mitigation, you know, making sure that families that had worked really hard to find and build asset, particularly through home ownership, didn't lose that critical asset that they had worked so hard to achieve. And so, you know, right now, what's a little different is in the space of workforce development, as I mentioned, you know, folks being a little hesitant to make moves right now to be able to, you know, to seek the retraining and retooling that they need to be able to take advantage of these great job opportunities that we have in our region. But we haven't really seen a movement yet in the space of foreclosure prevention. And so what that tells me, you know, there are some families, particularly because of the moratorium that exists, you know, as far as rental, but that just tells me it's indicative of once things start to open back up and once things start to move, that we're probably going to see some shifts, you know, to be able to help folks be able to preserve home ownership because of job loss or significant changes in their income. So we're anticipating that that might be forthcoming. As well as hopefully a positive shift back in the labor market as far as people, you know, seeking opportunities, you know, to continue to build their skills. We've seen a huge change in the number of men in particular who are accessing our job training and workforce development programs. So we're really trying to put in place programs and services. We just started a program even in the midst of COVID called Trades for Success, which is a pre-apprenticeship program, really helping to bridge men in particular back into the labor market and to connect them to some really great trade programs that exist in our region, including what happens through Ensweiler Institute, you know, as well.
So, that's you know, that's the operation that's the home builders operate to, mm-hmm. to train those types of people for works in construction trade. I want to ask you in the last moments that we have together, though, about younger workers, because like the Great Recession, where a lot of those, I shouldn't say remedial, but early entry level jobs, the first job type gigs at fast food restaurants and such were often taken by adults who needed a place to work. This is different again in that those jobs just simply aren't available. We didn't have a lot of lifeguards last summer because pools were shut down. And we're still seeing a lot of those types of recreational activity centers with limited opportunities for people to work. Restaurant industry has been hit really hard by who can work in person. What about the youth in Northern Kentucky, the 16 to 24-year-olds? What opportunities lie ahead for that demographic as we start to rebuild?
You know, that that is an important point to be able to make, because even before COVID, we have in our region around 6,000 16 to 24-year-olds that aren't working or going to school. And we've been working as an organization with other community partners to really take a deep dive into what was happening with those young adults, and working with partners like the school district and the Northern Kentucky Chamber and the work that we're doing through Grow NKY. To really look at that pipeline, you know, as young adults leave secondary, that there's a solid plan of transition, that there's some more career exploration and some work-based learning to be able to make sure that they have an opportunity to have a smooth transition to, you know, something that they aspire to do, and that they have a connection. And if for some reason whatever plan is in place falls through, that there's a safety net and there's an opportunity through the Kentucky Career Center for those young adults to remain connected. And, you know, and so reaching that particular population, you know, they were a little disconnected prior to COVID. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, now during COVID and even thinking of, you know, what is going to come past, there needs to be some real intentional outreach and connection to those 16 to 24-year-olds, particularly 18 to 24. So we've been working a lot with partners to try to really have, you know, good opportunities to re-engage 18 to 24-year-olds, to make sure that they have an opportunity to connect to paid internship programs that we can do through the Kentucky Career Center, where they can really, you know, get some experiential learning and something that they're really interested in wanting to do in a demand sector or a career pathway. So we would love to be able to connect, you know, to anyone in that age range that wants to understand and do some career exploration and find out, you know, a little bit more about what their aptitude and what their interest and what their passions might be. You know, we really need to, as a region, to connect to that population of young adults to make sure that we have folks positioned for our future workforce. Critically important.
Wanda Winkler is the president and CEO of the Brighton Center based in Newport. Wanda, thanks so much for taking the time. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.